The reality is when we walk up to the front of the church and get married, there's not two people standing there. There's a whole bunch of people standing there. Right? And we should just acknowledge it. We should have all the family standing there and say, hey, you're marrying this whole group. Right? We make a huge mistake in premarital counseling not to be saying, hey, you ain't just marrying him. You ain't just marrying her. You're marrying them all. And you better be ready for it. And are you ready for it? And because that's a reality. And if there's been divorces and all that kind of stuff, you're going to marry all that stuff. Because all that stuff comes to the front of the church.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Today is the concluding session for Dr. Randy's series, Intentional Living with Your In-Laws. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And we're at the end of the trail. We're going to put the bow on this topic today, intentional living with in-laws. This is a huge topic, an important topic. And during these last 5 days, I've tried to unpack this top 10 list of things that you can do, very practical things to consider and do to be intentional in the relationship with your in-laws, not only in marriage, like your mother and father-in-law, but you have a sister-in-law, perhaps your brother-in-law, and other in-law relationships. Very important. This is one of these high-stake relationships, as I call them. And we're going to go into the teaching studio at Intentional Living, where I'm going to share with you this teaching that was recorded with my staff and with the community. We'll go there in just a moment to wrap up this series for this week. Hey, just a reminder, you know, speaking of wrapping up, this is the end of the week. Tomorrow, Saturday morning, my wife Don and I and our team and some of the Youth Haven staff at Youth Haven Ranch in Rives Junction, Michigan. Where's that? You know, Southern Michigan, beautiful place. And I get a chance to share an intentional love marriage conference tomorrow morning for couples at Youth Haven in Michigan. We have very limited seating, and you can check for availability on seating at our website. I'd love to have you come. We'd love to meet you and greet you. Just go to TheIntentionalLife.com. That's TheIntentionalLife.com. Get registered if you haven't already, okay? And then we'll see you in the morning. All right, let's go over to the teaching studio here at Intentional Living. So this matters. The reality is when we walk up to the front of the church and get married, there's not two people standing there. There's a whole bunch of people standing there, right? And we should just acknowledge it. We should have all the family standing there and say, hey, you're marrying this whole group. Right? Don and I were talking this morning. We make a huge mistake in premarital counseling not to be saying, hey, you ain't just marrying him. You ain't just marrying her. You're marrying them all. And you better be ready for it. And are you ready for it? And because that's a reality. And if there's been divorces and all that kind of stuff, you're going to marry all that stuff. Because all that stuff comes to the front of the church. You stand there beautifully holding hands, oh, looking each other's eyes. This is going to be so fantastic. But then after you get married, got all the realities of history and background and family. And it could be great, but also could be very difficult. Just understand it, that in God's economy, leave, cleave, one flesh. There it is. Genesis 2:24. You got an issue in your marriage. There's the passage to go to. That's God's intention right there. Number 9. When we think about intentional living for a relationship with your in-laws, take responsibility for your part of the relationship. You know, you and I contribute sometimes to the problem that may be going on with an in-law relationship. It's not always their problem. How is it every time I've talked to a person who's going through divorce, 9 times out of 10, it's always the other person that was the fault? I'm thinking, wow, that's amazing. I just happened to be running into the one that's never at fault. That's just the way we are as humans, right? It's always somebody else's fault. It's the government's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's the kid's fault. It's the neighbor's fault. It's always somebody's fault. And I think it's a really healthy, mature exercise to stop. And I wrote down 3 things that can just maybe help you. If you're having a problem with a relationship with one of your in-laws, identify the problem. What is the problem? Try to understand what the problem is. Is it something that you think was done before that needs to be resolved? Is it I come on too strong? Is it we don't have clarified expectations? And sometimes you don't know, but you try to identify to the best of your ability and maybe even ask, but you may not hear back, but you may try to find out what it is that you're doing. And then ask yourself, if that's the problem, how am I contributing to that problem? What is it that I'm doing, and what could I do differently that would make a difference there? What one thing could I do that would change that? If I'm coming on too strong, because maybe you have an in-law that just is easily like this when you come at him, and you don't intend to. Some people just have really that kind of family, you know, womb, you know, and then you got others that are more reserved. Back off, you know. That's the part I'm contributing. In other words, don't expect them to change for you. Here's where we get in trouble. If you really want to have a relationship, thinking not only of your own interest, maybe we need to change to make that relationship better. And what I said, how I say it, and whatever. Taking responsibility. So identify the problem, decide how you've contributed to the problem, and then take responsibility for your part of the problem, and whatever that means. It may be an apology, and it may mean nothing is said. You're just going to change your behavior. But really own that is really important.
In a moment, Dr. Randy continues today's teaching, Intentional Living with Your In-Laws. This is a part of Dr. Randy's July teaching series on high-stake relationships. Find out more about the series and how you can receive a copy of this complete teaching or all the teachings for the entire month at theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours 1-888-888-1717 and press option 4.
Is it really possible to divorce-proof your marriage? Here's Dr. Randy Carlson.
Not only is it possible, I can show you how to do it at the next Intentional Love Marriage Conference. Whether you've been married for a few months or a few decades, this conference will make a difference in your marriage that will last a lifetime.
Coming this Saturday to Youth Haven Ranch in Michigan. Register today at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Presented by the Intentional Living Center.
The average American male lives 27,500 days. By that measure, I've got about 6,000 left.
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Rod Robinson, your Intentional Stewardship Coach.
I'm finding that the fewer days I have remaining in my tenure here on Earth, the more valuable they become to me. I'm spending less time worrying about the past, more time thinking about today, and finishing strong. Scripture tells us in the book of James that chasing after material possessions in this brief life is pointless. Instead, we should be focusing on storing up treasures in heaven. And you know, all calculations aside, I'm not guaranteed another day. None of us are. So today is the day for loving people, generous giving, righting wrongs, and serving others. The thousands of days in your past may make you proud or they may make you blush, but no matter what, you can finish strong.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
Hello?
Hey, I'm really sorry about this morning.
It's already forgotten. And I'm sorry, too. As soon as I opened my email today, I was sorry.
The Intentional Devotion?
You read it, too?
I saw it first thing, and I knew I had to call and clear this up. Hey, we're on this journey together, right?
Find victory in the areas of your life that matter most with powerful stories and words of inspiration in the Intentional Devotion in your email every day. Sign up at theintentionallife.com.
Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you hear on the radio, but all the sessions of this entire series. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy as he continues today's teaching.
And then number 10, just like every lesson you're going to hear probably that I teach, pray for success. You got to pray that ultimately God is going to be in the relationship. Pray individually for each of your in-laws. When was the last time you prayed for a brother-in-law or sister-in-law? Or you prayed for a son-in-law or daughter-in-law? You know, really pray for their success and their health. That changes us, right? So that's really important. And then we talk about freedom process. There's 10 things you can do, right? There's 10 one things. You pick one and work on it. But as we talk about the freedom process, we focus on God's intention. We talk about some habits that we can develop. And then we talk about clutter. Eliminate clutter. I would ask, when it comes to a relationship with an in-law, what's the clutter that's got to be removed so you can do this? could be forgiveness. It may be past hurts. It may be unrealistic expectations. It may be I've not spent enough time. It may be that something was said or done way back at the beginning of the relationship that I need to go back and, you know, try to clarify or whatever. But remove the clutter. And a lot of this kind of clutter is going to be emotional and spiritual clutter. It's the kind of stuff that keeps us from being the mature person in the relationship. And then enjoy the results. That's part of the freedom process. Enjoy the results. What is it? The result is God's intention for families to experience love for each other. And that's the result. If we can be more intentional and have a better family relationship, man, that's about as good a result as you're going to get. Now, I wrote this at the end. I had my whole lesson done, closed the books. I'm going to go and teach it. And God prompted me last night. I was thinking about that. I was thinking, you know what? We've got some folks maybe here on staff or maybe viewing or listening to this are going to say, Randy, I've done everything you said, and it still ain't working. You know? I still got attention. What do I do? Sometimes you just have to pray for a do-over. And sometimes you have to humble yourself. You may know. You have to say, hey, I have to go to that person because I know, and I may only be 10% of the responsibility, but I got to ask for a do-over. And just be that bold, if you can. Can we have a do-over? I blew it. You know, will you forgive me? And they may say no. They say, you know, goodbye. But you did what was right. And that's the key. A do-over. Because here's what I've learned. How things start matter. And I think a lot of the in-law problems that we have are how things started. Not how they're today. Because we look at today and we say, I don't see any problems, but it was something in the past, level of sensitivity, how it got started. So what do you do when you've done everything, you've said everything, you've been the person that you know God wants you to be? I wrote down here, grieve the loss of the hopes and dreams. Maybe you had a dream and a hope that you're going to have a great relationship with your daughter-in-law, and it may never be. You may have hoped and had dreams of a good relationship with a son-in-law. It's never going to be. Just isn't going to be what you thought. And grieving's okay. Lord, you know, help me accept the fact that I can't, there's things I can change and there's things I can't change and I know the difference. But I'm still going to be the right person and do the next right one thing. It says in Proverbs 13:12 that a hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And so many of us are going to live our lives in some relationships, including in-law relationships, where hope deferred makes your heart sick. And you have to live with it. But you still do the right things. That makes sense? Because when you do, you know you're being intentional, and that's our ultimate goal here, to be intentional in how God wants us to be with our in-laws. Father, I do pray today for every one of my in-laws. I think of those that are in heaven. I think of those here, my sisters-in-law and brothers-in-law. I think of daughters-in-law, son-in-law. Lord, I pray you'll bless each of them today. Thank you for the great blessing they are to me and into my life. And may I be a blessing in their lives. I think of my children and those in my family, brothers and that have married or have children and have relationships. I pray that I would be an encouragement in their lives to help them find success in all their relationships. And Lord, I pray for every person in this room who's struggling and every member of our team who struggles with a relationship, that perhaps something that was said today, just very practical lesson, that one thing will be shared, one thing was heard that will resonate in the heart that they can apply to their relationship with that in-law in their life. Lord, we want the best for our relationships. Satan loves to get in the middle of all this stuff and create problems. And I pray that he'll be defeated and that there'll be success. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.
All right, we're live back in the broadcast studio here at Intentional Living Center, and that does wrap up 5 days of teaching on intentional living with the in-laws. It's part of our high-stake relationships series. And you know, you can improve these most important relationships in one way, and frankly, only one way. It's by being intentional. Intentional with your love. That's what we call our marriage conference, in fact, being intentional with your love. Are you intentional with your relationships that matter most, your high-stake relationships? Well, today, we'd like to get into your hands this entire teaching, Intentional Living with Your In-Laws, as you share a gift to help us with the ministry, whatever God lays on your heart. And we'll say thanks by sending you this teaching on CD. And if you become a monthly member of Intentional Living, you'll receive this teaching plus two other helpful lessons that'll help you be intentional in other high-stake relationships, including your adult children, relationship with them, and in the workplace. That's three very practical lessons that we're going to send to you. Plus, as you join as a member, you'll keep on receiving brand new coaching on CD from me every month as a way to say thanks for your monthly support. Now, find out more. Everything, all the roads lead to the, you know, the website for our conferences and, of course, for membership as well. You can find out more at theintentionallife.com. You can click on donate. That would be the easiest when you get there. Find out more at theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. One of our own staff here, one of our ministry staff will talk to you. Just hit option number 4 when you call. Fair enough? All right. Appreciate you standing with us. Hope this has been helpful. By the way, when you call that number, you can also share a story. We'd love to hear your comment or your story, your personal journey with in-laws. All right. Claudia is on the line calling from Indio, California. And it says here, Claudia, that you have a great mother-in-law relationship, right?
I do. I have really been blessed. You know, we've been married almost 6 years, and on our wedding day, my mother-in-law came up to me and said, you know, I want to welcome you to our family. You are now my daughter that I never had, and I promise I will never butt in your guys' marriage. I will respect you too, and I am sad. She says that I'm basically losing my only son, but I know that I'm gaining a daughter, and I am very proud to have you in our family. And she has really kept her word. Like I said, we've been married almost 6 years, and she is just nice, humble, gentle, and considerate, with very respectful of our decisions, house rules, beliefs. For example, she knows we're very strict about having my daughter watch any movie or cartoon other than rated G. And if she really wants to buy her a movie, she lives out of town, so she will always call and say, you know what, I want to get her Aladdin, or I want to get her this,
good,
but I know it does say the word stupid in it. Is that okay? You know, she's just very considerate in many ways.
Okay, now, Claudia, listen, I want you to teach as a daughter-in-law, mothers-in-law, mother-in-laws and father-in-laws listening here, or mothers-in-law and fathers-in-law, I got to get that right, listening. What is it that you're feeling when your mother-in-law calls you and says, honey, got a thing here to get you, but it, you know, it says stupid in it. Is it okay with you? What are you feeling at that moment?
I'm just feeling very respected.
There you go. Let's stop. Okay. The world comes to a halt right now. If you do not respect each other in this in-law relationship, you are dead meat. I mean, I'm facing it. On a relationship level, you're dead meat. And your mother-in-law has shown respect to you, Claudia. She has honored her commitment to you. She established the relationship up front and made it very clear she wasn't going to butt in. Now, let me ask you, do you treat her well? Does she feel cut out of your family? How do you respond to that in terms of just, you know, including her into your world?
No, absolutely not. She is, I see her like a second mother, and I've told her that many times. And I just love her to death. She is a sweet, wonderful woman, and she treats me so well. I really have no, I'm just not that kind of person to want to revenge, but even if I were, she gives me no reason to ever, you know, disrespectful in any way.
And I'm using you as a teachable moment here, Claudia, because what your mother-in-law did right, and I should have her do the program because she's smarter than all of us here. What she has done is she realizes she's not in a position of power. Now, I want you to follow me here. When your husband married you, her little boy married you, that became the primary relationship. Genesis 2:24 took over. And she, as a mother-in-law, was not in a position of power to dictate or control. All she was doing is acknowledging that. She was just simply saying, honey, I love you guys, and I'll do whatever I can to support you, and I won't butt my nose in. That's what God tells us to do. I don't know if I can find the verse where it says parents butt your nose out, but I think it's pretty clear that that's implied in Genesis 2:24, leave and cleave and butt your nose out. And if you can go as far as saying, honey, not only am I going to keep my nose out of your business, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to love you. That is a huge respect factor. If you don't have the big R going on in your relationship, you're in trouble. Thank you, Claudia. Henrietta is in California. Hi there, Henrietta.
Hi there.
You're a mom-in-law, huh?
Yes.
What's going on?
And I wanted to be a good mom-in-law. But the thing is that I'm getting hurt feelings. I'm wanting to be able to deal with them. My daughter-in-law, whom we just think the world of, I'm going to cry.
It's okay.
But anyway, every time, I mean, I know that, you know, we're supposed to share holidays and that, but it seems like every time it's my holiday or my time to get together with my son and her, she ends up getting sick and she doesn't show up, or she only comes for a few minutes and then she leaves. Her parents live close by and they come up and see her parents every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you know, and I don't expect to see them every weekend because I work all the time anyway. But I do, when it's my holiday, I want that. And I had a discussion with my son this past Christmas because of what had happened. And I hate putting him in the middle because, you know, and he said that I should talk to her and I just don't know how to approach it.
Henrietta, listen. Let me just give you some good fatherly father-in-law, mother-in-law advice.
Okay.
Be very, very careful.
I know.
And here's what I believe. Work on having a great relationship with your daughter-in-law, which means that you get into her world. If you know she has certain kinds of literature she likes, buy her a book now and then, just send it to her. Find an article on a topic she enjoys, send it to her. Give her a call now and then, say you're thinking of her and praying for her, send her a card. Go out of your way to take the high road in loving this daughter-in-law.
Okay.
Okay. And number two, take what you get.
Yeah, I pretty much told my son that I was, you know, I said, well, I'm really going to have to pray on just dealing with get what I get, you know. And
I think what you do, here's what you do, and I know some people are disagreeing with this, but they haven't been there. Here's the reality. You know, Christmas is coming. We'd love to have you come. Oh, we know it's our Christmas. We're going to be celebrating Christmas morning. We'd love to have you come. We're going to have a special breakfast or whatever you do. Make it special, something they look forward to. Hope you can be there. And if they come, it's a blessing. If they don't, you pray for them. And if they're sick, then I would take it at face value. I'd say, honey, I'm so sorry you're sick. How about we get together next weekend? See, be creative. In other words, you can flush them out, in a sense, by if they're truly sick, they'll say, great, we'll come next weekend. If they're not, then there'll be another excuse. Then maybe, as you hear these ongoing excuses, you can open your heart to say, is there something we need to talk about?
I live intentionally by taking in my 81-year-old mother-in-law, who actually has four sons of her own and a daughter who is my wife. And the mother-in-law does not like me whatsoever, but I feel it's God's will for me to provide for her, as her own sons will not. And she thinks that the reason that her sons don't visit her is because of me. I try not to carry that burden on my shoulders. I let it go. I let God have those problems, and I pray every day for strength to carry on. And she's a lovely, wonderful lady, just doesn't understand what's going on in life. And I'm happy to help. I love her, and I love her daughter, and I love her family.
Are you intentional with your relationships that matter the most, your high-stake relationships? Dr. Randy Carlson is here to help. In today's teaching, he presents practical biblical lessons to help you be intentional with your in-laws. The complete teaching is on CD and is yours with our thanks for your gift of any amount to the ministry. And if you become a monthly member of Intentional Living, you'll receive this teaching, plus two other helpful series from Dr. Randy on your high-stake relationships with your adult children and in the workplace. That's three practical, full-length teachings when you become a member. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. Or call 1-888-1717 during West Coast business hours and press option 4.
Thank you, Kurt, for presenting that to our listeners. And I want to thank those of you who've been responding and standing with us from all around the country. obviously, your support helps us do this. We can't do it without your support. We're listener-supported, and you make a big difference. But really, what excites me and turns my crank is the opportunity to send to you teaching and help, and that's why we're here. Frankly, that's the only reason we're here, is to help you in your walk with Christ. And as we wrapped up this series on in-laws, I was just reflecting about my own relationship with my in-laws. My mother-in-law died a few years ago with Alzheimer's. And then my father-in-law, Donna's dad, died in October at 88. And it was a sudden death. He was in pretty good shape. It just happened so quickly, and we were out of town. And as I was thinking about that, I officiated his funeral, and seeing him there, what remained, just the remains, and knowing he's in heaven, what encouraged me was to know there was nothing between us. There was really no, and I talked about no unfinished business. There was no unfinished business. I mean, I would like to have spent more time and probably said some more things, but no unfinished business. Boy, that is the real message of this topic today. And so I hope it's a help to you. Thanks to those of you who've been responding. We'll get that out to you as soon as we can. Again, you can get information on support and what have you at theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Marie. I'm calling from Tennessee. I'm calling in response to the lady that said that she was going to be intentional in forgiving her daughter-in-law, and she just sounded so down and depressed. And I would like to let you know that 21 years ago, I married my husband, and my mother-in-law had very much the same attitude towards me. She thought I wasn't good enough for her son, and so on and so forth. And I was very intentional that one day we would have the same story as Ruth and Naomi. And I'm very happy to say that today we, in fact, do have that relationship. And it took a very long time, but she now loves me, and I love her. And it was through the intentional act of not letting her push me away and push me out of the family, trusting in God and going about living my daily life, that made all the difference.
Boy, good for you. You encourage someone when you share that. By the way, what's your story about in-law relationship? A story to encourage someone else. Tell us about it when you call 888-888-1717. Hey, coming up next week, I have a program. We're going to talk about coming back from the brink of disaster. And then we begin a 3-day series on the high-stake relationship in the workplace. And I hope you'll join us for that. Hey, by the way, Youth Haven, Michigan, tomorrow morning, Intentional Love. We'll see you all there. Don't have your tickets, check it out at theintentionallife.com.